summer is progressing right along here. No matter how us teacher types would try to restrain the passage of time, it's going right. Yeah. Hey, so good to see Facebook posts and things of your vacations going on, the many activities on the horizon here, the possibility of upcoming grandchildren and trips to Colorado and different places, and that's really exciting. I'm glad you're getting to take advantage of that. I'm glad the weather's giving us somewhat of a break here lately, because when we were out yesterday trying to plant some shrubs, we were very grateful for a little bit of cloudiness and north breeze there. So we don't always get that in Texas. Very rarely do we get that in Texas. So that's good. And God is good in all of that. I'm excited about today. I don't think the enemy really wanted us to have our PowerPoint today. I was late arriving here today because I've done this a million times, you know, pulling my presentation off the cloud, and for some reason it was corrupted, and I ended up having to do some scuffling around to get at the original presentation on the original computer that it was created on, and then finally got that, brought the flash drive up, and then we were having some difficulty this morning pulling it off the hard drive, and it's just like, wow, are we going to have to just lay hands on this flash drive and have the elders pray over it today and get the demons out of this flash drive, whatever it is. But good news is, Lord willing, it looks like we're up and going. So that's, hey, if the enemy didn't want this to happen today, then that's all the more reason for us to be excited about it. So that's good. So before we get into that material, let's go ahead and have us a quick prayer. Father in heaven, we are grateful to be able to have this time, and we are grateful for this time of year, for the times we get to spend with our family and vacations and different things, perhaps people getting a little bit of a rest and relaxation. So Father, help us get those batteries recharged, and we pray that we can just enjoy this time that we have with family and friends. We're grateful for this time together, Father. So Father, we do pray that you have something special for us today, and that it will help us in not only our lives, but in the fact that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against these dark spiritual forces. We pray that this can in some way help us with that today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen, for his sake. Amen. All right. We have been looking at the book, You Are What You Love. And once again, I just hope that you've benefited from that, will continue to benefit from that. We've got about one chapter left, so since that gives us a little extra time, I'm choosing to focus on some of the details of some of the material that we've been currently looking at, and we're going to continue to do that today. And in order to hopefully underscore some of those points and make it more relevant, I'll just give you a little clue here. There it is. If you recognize that ship, you probably know at least in some part where we're going today. So here it comes, ready or not. In case you do need to review any of the previous material, we have that available to you, tinyurl.com/PGSermons. So you can go to that and review any of the previous material. Just to encapsulate some of the bullet points here, you are what you love because you become like what you worship. Whatever you worship, that's what you put in the highest value, the highest pinnacle of your life. And you worship what you love. If you love God, you worship God. You love Jesus, you worship Jesus and all the things that comes from that. If you love money, you worship that. You know, if you worship money, you love. Nothing wrong with money in of itself, but, you know, the love of money, Scripture talks about that, and we know some of the dangers that are inherent there. And so, basically, once again, you are what you love, and since it's so important that we guard our hearts, and that it's so important what it is that we do love, we're noticing that Jesus is using human agents like us to fix all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. So that's all just to say, what we love is really, really, really important. It's going to affect a lot of our behavior and a lot of our lives, because we daily, and you know this as well as I do, we daily engage in routines and habits that both stir our heart towards what we love and cultivate, can continue to cultivate and build that love in our lives. So the example that we've used here is that it acts as both a compass and a guidance system. The longings of our heart, the things we love, both point us in the direction that we need to go, and at the same time, what? They're pulling us. They're propelling us in that direction. So it's kind of like a circle there. So it really is important that we guard our heart. And so what we look at today is, you make what you love. You tend to make what you love. In other words, your habits are your job. And by that we mean, what I practice, what you practice, becomes your habits. And since your habits influence your whole life, they shape your heart, and even your job as a Christ follower, the things that you do that you think are a part of what it means to walk out being a Christian, being a Christ follower, is affected by all of this. And to really further unpack that a little bit with you this morning, what we want to do is reinforce this idea of the Greek word telos. Telos. It's used a lot in Scripture. What it means is it's ultimately the end goal, your purpose in life. Many times on projects in business, in the business world, I know nowadays they'll say, begin with the end in mind. In other words, what is it that you really want to do? And then you make your plan and your goals based on that. And so this idea of the telos is really, really important. It comes up over and over again in Scripture, and it helps to explain one of these Scriptures. I know we've talked about this before in Matthew 5:48, that seems to be impossible, where Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The word used for perfect there is a form of this word, telos. And so I would always look at this and say, well, this is impossible. I'm supposed to be flawless like God is flawless. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. You know, there, God's, you know, obviously without flaw, he lacks nothing. You know, that's not going to happen with me. But the idea of the telos there is that you find your purpose even as God always ultimately fulfills his purpose. Think about all those things that Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, this is your role, this is your purpose, this is how you're going to get there. You know, these difficult things like love your enemies and returning good for evil and not taking a brother to court and all these kinds of things. I mean, these things are hard. They really are. But they are things that manifest the life of someone who is going towards that goal, going towards that purpose. And as it sinks into your heart, it becomes even more easy to practice these things. So the practice helps to cultivate the love, and then the love helps to cultivate the practice. Again, we have this cycle, this circle that's going on here. And of course, it will ultimately come back to what? What story are you in? The story has a purpose. The story has a goal that it's going towards. And so understanding the narrative, the big picture that we're in, not only, you know, has this kind of effect on our heart, but it also determines what? What we value. You know, you're going to love what you value. What is it that you really value in life? And I've mentioned this earlier, this recent workshop that I went to that had such a big effect on me, when the guy just reminded us, the biggest thing you bring to the classroom is who you are as a human being. Because watch, you bring those values into the classroom, right? There is no neutral value teacher. Any teacher who comes into that room has a set of values that they bring in, and there's no way they can come into that classroom without those values. Whether you teach in a public school, private school, home school, whatever it is, you're bringing those. You take them with you whatever you go. And on some level, what are you doing with your students? You're inviting them into those values. By practicing those things, you're telling those students, these things are important. And this is over and above whatever the subject matter is. You know, whether it's art or math or science or music or whatever that is, who you are as a human being affects those students. It also applies to your coworkers and to your family and to your children, your spouses. Who you are as a human being affects them, because they see that. And so as we're calling people into this big story, I just want to propose to you, I think the main way that we do that is what we bring in terms of our values, who we are as a human being, who we are as a Christ follower. And so we have a role in this story, don't we? And we talked about that last time. And I just want to briefly review these, because we're going to camp out on these a little bit today. We are creation enjoyers. We are idolatry discerners. We are order discoverers. And we are beauty creators. As we look at the overarching story of Scripture, we see the characters playing these out over and over again. And I think that it's fundamental to discovering our role in this. So, I want to ask for a little pew survey today. We looked at this scripture last time, and let's read it one more time. This is in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled, made us friends again, who reconciled us to himself. We're now friends with God again. Through Christ, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we get to go back out with that same ministry of making people friends with God. All right? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's how we get to be friends with God. God's not counting our sins against us. Okay? And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, because he is. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So let me ask you this morning, and let me just get some verbal response from, I know you guys have strong beliefs, strong opinions. This ministry of reconciliation, which category does this fit into? As ministers of reconciliation, are we creation enjoyers, idolatry discerners, order discoverers, or beauty creators? What category does that fit into to be making people friends with God again? What do you think? Anybody? Okay. All. Creation enjoyer. It starts with being a creation enjoyer and a beauty creator. Maybe. Okay. Okay. And by the way, there's no penalty if you get the answer wrong. and there really isn't a wrong answer on this. Anybody else feel like it strongly that if it fits in one particular category? How about idolatry discerners? In order to be friends with God, don't we have to recognize what the competition is out there? What the idols are that are competing with us for God's friendship? Okay? I mean, I'm just throwing things out there. Like I said, I don't know if there is any right or wrong. We're speculating, you know, here. Anything else? Order discoverers. God's got out an order in the world. We're aligning ourselves with that order. Okay. Again, I think Paul may have been on the right track here, is that, yeah, it may fit into one category, maybe more so than another, but there's some overlap here, isn't there? As we find ourselves called to be ministers of reconciliation, of telling the world God's not mad at you in Christ because of what Christ has done. And when we become a Christ follower, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, when we're baptized into Him, that changes things. That changes your story. And that's what we're about, getting people into, getting them to join us in this story, because stories are cool. They capture our imagination, and there's commonalities in all of this. Well, here's where the X-Fighter is going to come into play here. Okay, here's Luke, right? There's Luke Skywalker on Alderaan, and notice how he's kind of got that musing look on his face here. Pretty much his life is laid out for him. He's being raised by his aunt and uncle, and he's some sort of farmer on this planet, right? But is he happy about it? See, his heart is taking him in a different direction. He longs for something else than to just this life that he has. And there's that, remember this part of the movie here, if you've seen the movie Star Wars? The part where is it the two moons or the two suns? Is it two suns? Okay, it's two suns. Somebody expert would know here. Yes, that's you can always there's always at least one Star Wars expert present. That's good. Yeah. And that's how you know there's kind of an otherworldly quality to this. And you see him in this scene, and there's this really pensive music, and he's contemplated these things, and you know, am I meant for something else? My heart is calling me to something else. But he really doesn't know how to get there, does he? But as usual, in many of these stories, there's something that helps move the story arc along, isn't there? Yeah, he comes back and a great evil has been perpetrated here. His aunt and uncle have been killed. The empire has come and destroyed, you know, the home here. And I think there's a lesson. And by the way, guys, this morning I could have used any number of biblical characters to illustrate this. Think about all that we could have used. Abraham, Joseph, Paul has that, you know, encounter on the Damascus Road. You know, we know all those stories. I'm only using this is because this is common to our whole culture. People that you talk to out there, they relate to this, whether, you know, young or middle-aged or old like me, you know, the old guys that were there the opening night back in 1977. Yeah, and so this, something has changed here drastically for Luke. And I think the encouragement that I want to give you here this morning is this. Sometimes your old life has to fall apart before you can see the new life and real purpose that God has for you. And so if you're going through some rough times, kind of like I am right now, I don't know where you are here right now, sometimes that's God coming in, and I'm not saying God causes evil. Obviously, He does not. But God can use that to move you along in His purposes, because sometimes you get it into kind of a comfort level, a comfort zone here, and now God's moving you out of that. And so Luke is now in a position where God can, where, you know, the story, in our case, we would say God, but the story, he can be moved into that larger story arc here. But how is he going to find out his role and his purpose in this? Well, y'all know. Yeah, Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan's got to show him how to get there. See, in our lives, we need somebody older who can tell us of that larger story, and somebody who's already been there and who's walked that and who's willing to walk that out with us. Now, what do we call that in the Bible? That's being discipled, right? Obi-Wan discipled Luke, and that's why discipling, being discipled, and discipling others is so very important. I need somebody who's discipling me, and I need to be discipling other folks there. And so, in order to be taught and trained, I need that Jedi master, okay? You know, I need that person in the faith who's walked where I'm walking now before and can encourage me and say, Barry, you're going to get through this. God's just moving you through whatever's going on in your life, good and bad. He's moving you through this story. And so there's training that's involved, isn't there? See, this is what's cool. Is you get cool toys to play with. you get the lightsaber. You know, you get the Wacom toys. That's really not what they are. They're weapons, aren't they? In other words, in order for us to find our role in this big story, we have to be trained, and we have to have tools and weapons at our disposal in order to do this. See, Luke finds out that there are forces out there beyond which he can really see with his physical eyes. They call it the Force. We would, of course, call it, you know, different things there. And we have powerful weapons in which to deal with this. In Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, right? Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we have powerful weapons at our disposal, but they're useless if we're not trained in how to use them, and then we go out and what? We use them. I mean, suppose, you know, Obi-Wan had passed Luke the lightsaber, and he never learned how to turn it on. It would have just been a fancy silver stick, you know? I guess it'd be cool. You could hang it on your belt and things like that. But if you saw that movie, do you remember the first time he turned it on? That was just super cool. And the light comes up and it makes that noise, and you're seeing that for the first time in 1977. You go, whoa, he's going to do something cool with this, you know. I think God's got tools and weapons for us that make a lifesaver look like a lollipop. You know, the sword of the Word of God, you know, the belt, you know, the belt, breastplate of righteousness, all of these kinds of things. But I need help learning how to use those. That's what discipleship is all about. And so that when the time comes, I'm ready to do it. Now, there's also advanced training, isn't there? There comes a time when Obi-Wan is gone. And so Luke has to go to Dagobah and train with even one of the higher, you know, Jedi Knights there, Yoda. And it's not real glamorous training, is it? Kind of gets on his back and he's running around in the swamp. It's not a glamorous environment. But Yoda reminds Luke that our battle is not against flesh and blood. That there are powers out there, for forces out there that you don't even necessarily see. And do you remember how discouraged Luke became? He's wanting him to, you know, somehow get his ship up out of the swamp, out of the muck there. And finally, he just says, you know, you're asking me to do the impossible, you know. And he said, and if he had been Shakespeare here, he would have said what? There are things in heaven and earth, Horatio, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. From Scripture, trying to levitate this ship, it would have been this, right? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Is there anything that's impossible for God? No, we know that. We know that. If there are struggles that we're encountering right now that seem impossible, well, they seemed impossible to Luke too, until what? Yoda showed him. I think there's a God in our life that's ready to show us the impossible, the seemingly impossible things in our life that he can do, because he's able to do immeasurably more than anything we can ask or imagine. Now, I got to tell you this morning, I don't have the faith some days to grasp that and to believe that. I need your help as the body of Christ, and I need God's help to help me get there. But this is why discipleship is so important. I need you to show me in your life when things have seemed impossible, and share stories with me about the victory that you experienced. You know, Barry, I thought this was impossible, but God made it happen. This is what Yoda did right before his eyes with Luke. But if we're not sharing those stories with each other, we all just kind of sit around in defeat thinking, well, you know, I guess I'm just toast. You know, it's not going to happen. You know, and stuff. Be somebody's Yoda today. You know, be my Yoda. Let me be Yoda to you if you need me to share that story, you know, with you. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Now, why does God allow this crummy stuff, though, to happen in our lives? It is so discouraging at times, and it seems so overwhelming, you know, and stuff, just like it did with Luke. Look at Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We brag about it. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Okay, you're going to have to explain that, Paul. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All of this stuff, the ultimate end game of this is what? It's going to produce hope. Every time you go through something and you depend upon God and you depend upon the body and it develops this character, and in the future now you're going to have hope that when I hit this inevitably again, now I've got prior experience in this, I can get through this. Not only can I get through this, I will actually experience some victory in this. By the way, you remember what this first Star Wars movie was subtitled? A New Hope. There's the Star Wars expert, of course. Now, there's a reason why it's called A New Hope. It's showing you how, in spite of all this bad stuff that's going on with Luke, Luke's going to have reason to have hope in the future because of the bigger story that he finds himself in. I want to propose to you this morning as we conclude that these four things that we've talked about, creation, enjoyers, idolatry, discerners, etc., 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 instead of just looking at that as a column, perhaps we should look at this as a cycle. I think that's kind of what Paul was going for earlier when we looked at that scripture. But you know what? I think it actually kind of starts with this. Being able to discern the competing voices out there and saying no to them and yes to God. And through that, then we start discovering God's good order in all of this. And then, since we're agents of God, we should start creating beauty. You know, beauty in art, beauty in music, beauty in our marriages, beauty in our families, you know, beauty in science and the math and things like that. And then what? We have a beauty in addition to what God's already created. We have a beauty to be able to be enjoyed. You know, as God originally created it, it was good. And Adam and Eve were enjoying it. And then they messed it up. How do we get it back? God's using human agents to bring the order back so that we can all enjoy it individually and together. Now, don't we see that in the movie? Yeah. The emperor is an idol. When he confronts Luke, he's like, you know, he's like Satan up there with, you know, with Jesus on the mountain, you know, just worship me and I'll give you this and this and this. Come over, I feel the darkness in you, Luke. Yeah, all of this, you know, come over. We'll, you know, he's saying through Darth Vader, you know, we'll rule the empire together as father and son. That all sounds good, but it's an idol. It's an imitation of what God actually has for us. And so what? Luke has to discover the real order there, the positive side of all of this. And so when his opportunity for his biggest battle comes, what does he have to do? Feel the force. You know, feel it. Yeah, that's the only way he's going to succeed. You know, on this. He has to know that there's a power higher than him. Now, we don't call it the force. You know, we call it God because that's what it actually is. And it's personal. And it's not like this impersonal force. So, as Christians, we all understand that. You know, we're just using this as an example. But the point is, when his biggest battle comes, like David against Goliath, he knows who to put his trust in there. And so, as a result of that, what? They become beauty creators. When they're honored here with the medals and they go before, you know, the alliance, the Rebel Alliance and all of this, and there's a big celebration in all of this. They understand we're pushing the empire back and we're extending the borders of God's good order. In other words, God's kingdom is being established, you know, there, looking at it in that particular way. And then they get to the final part of the story arc there with the Ewoks on their planet, and how does it end? There's a reason why they're out in the forest there, guys. Forest is kind of like a garden, you know, right? They're enjoying the creation. The victory, at least for now, has been won. The Death Star has been decimated, okay? And at least for right now, we can enjoy God's good order here. And so there's a place for dancing and celebrating and eating and feasting and all of these kinds of things, and they're dressed more casually now, and even the robots get to take part in all of this. Reconciling the world through Christ and extending God's kingdom, which is his good creation. This is how we guard our hearts, folks. We learn our purpose. We learn our telos. We become discipled. We're trained. We start to learn our role, how to use the tools and the weapons that God has given us. And in the process, we start making the world friends with God again. And there really is something to enjoy. That's the best story I know. That's why I'm a part of that story today. That's why I enjoy good stories, folks. This is the story I want to be a part of, the one where God wins and reconciles the world to himself through Jesus Christ. If you want to be a part of that story too, and you're not, and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, be baptized into him. This is a fun story. This is a good story. Yeah, this is a good kingdom. This is a good empire. All right. So we're going to sing a song, and if you haven't accepted him, you'll have the opportunity to do that. If you're needing help with this, you're having struggles, you need people to share their victory stories with you, pray for you, we're going to have a time for that in just a few minutes as well. But if you want to respond to this in any way this morning, please come while we stand and while we sing.